part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
Adventist World Radio, we give you nothing but the very best in Bible-based content. And of course, this is the best Christian radio station, this side of Christ coming, ensuring that you receive a media content radio that changes your life. That's our goal. That's our motive. That's our one job right here as we communicate with you on a daily basis. You're currently tuned into the Mid-Morning Empowerment right here. And my name is Derek Viriri, standing in for Zanele Zama. It's 2 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock, and we're about to get into our conversation. Our final conversation, in actual fact, for the show, talking this morning in our Daily Focus feature with Pastor Mazuba. We're looking at matters of compassion. That's our theme for the week in our Daily Focus feature here on the Mid-Morning Empowerment. And we want to hear today to say, in the scriptures, do we see evidence of this compassion? And as we do so, we invite you, my dear friends, you just heard the contact details right there, to join us as we discuss together matters pertaining to compassion. To say, what's your take? Do you see an example of compassion in the scriptures? You know, the scriptures are almost like a hot pot sometimes, right? Because you get evidence of almost everything. I know a lot of people who would read the scriptures and come out with evidence for them being hateful people. We've seen people who read the scriptures and find evidence to enslave others. We've seen scripture being utilized to conduct tyrannous activities. For example, apartheid, where people say they read the Bible and they find themselves saying, no, there is a superior race, therefore we are that race and we must abuse and oppress others. And they're finding the basis, what? As the Bible. So then, can we also find compassion in the scripture? And how do you then balance the scripture to say, which one should you follow above all others? And that's what we're going to be talking about right here this morning as we discuss matters pertaining to compassion in our Daily Focus feature. You are invited. Your thoughts, your comments are very much welcome. Talk to us on our WhatsApp line, +27 73 470 3520. Or you can talk to us as well on our, if you can ring us, you can send us a WhatsApp text. Or you can send us a voice note. Yes, that's what I was looking for. The mind got blank a bit there. Send us a voice note on that WhatsApp line. Or you can talk to us where we are streaming live on our YouTube page, the SID Media. Drop us a chat in the comment section there as we can engage each other discussing this very pertinent subject of compassion.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, we're trying to address, so what is the meaning of compassion? The meaning is that to recognize suffering of others. I think the pastor touched on this one yesterday. And then to action to help. Compassion embodies a tangible expression of love for those who are suffering, those who are in need. So we're going to be looking through the scripture, looking for, particularly interested at where compassion is expressed. And joining us to take us through this segment is Mfundisi Wami, Pastor Mazuba, all the way from Zambia. Mfundisi, good morning. It's 5 minutes after 11. Good morning to you and welcome once again to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Good morning, Derek, and it's good to hear your voice after a long time.
Now, indeed, it has been a while. I trust that you are still doing well.
Yeah, I am day by day.
Marvelous. Mfundisi, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us, especially regarding this very important subject from the scripture. The scripture, like we were saying in our introduction, sometimes abused and sometimes utilized to conduct the most heinous of crimes. But we are confident that we can find evidence of how we are encouraged to be compassionate from the Bible. That is true, right, Mfundisi? We can find evidence of compassion?
Yes, we can, okay. And we should, actually, because it is what will give us the grounding. It is what will then show us that this is something that in itself God requires of us and not just something that is out there. So we have evidence, Bible-based evidence, God himself showing compassion. Mm-hmm. So it is something that really like we said yesterday, drawing it from God, and it can only be done with God in us, then it becomes true compassion.
Amen, amen. Maybe then take us through some of those evidences, Pastor, to say here are some pointers where the scripture is not only showing that there is compassion in the Bible, but also teaching us to likewise be compassionate.
Okay, yesterday, the viewers, if they remember, we touched on the story of the Good Samaritan. That is another evidence that shows us of how we need to be compassionate one to another. And I'm sure maybe someone is joining us for the first time. You can find that story in Luke chapter 10, verse 25 to 35. There you find the story of Jesus showing, I mean, the story of the Good Samaritan. You also find the Jesus raising the son of the widow at 9. That is in Luke 7, 11 to 15. I love this story in that you see this widow in 9, if you check the geographical location of the village, is that from where Jesus was in the previous chapter to get to 9, it took about 2 days' walk. And this meant that the time they were planning their burial, Jesus, after preaching, had to take 2 days walking in the night and day to ensure that he arrived on time to this village of Nain. And the Bible says that when he got there, he saw how this widow was mourning, and he had compassion for her and raised her son. That's another story we find. The other story is Jesus... in Mark 1, 40 to 42, that is the leper. And you see Jesus placing, this leper comes and says, if you are willing, I will be healed. And Jesus, you say, yeah, I'm willing. And he touched the leper. Who does that? Who touches a leper in this time and culture, knowing the people around him? But that's something that will come up later, I'm sure. But he touches a leper, already starting a controversy, and heals a leper. The other one is feeding the 5,000. The people that have come. Jesus sees how hungry they are. The disciples say, let's just send them. But Jesus is moved with compassion, and he later feeds these 5,000 men. I mean, add women, it will be a great number. So in the Bible, we have really a number of lessons where God shows compassion. Remember the parable of the unforgiving servant? Already, that's another parable that shows us compassion.
Okay.
The lost son, another story that you find. The Bible says that when the father saw the son at a distance, he had compassion even before he arrived. From a distance, he had compassion and he was ready to receive. So we have so many biblical evidence that show us that compassion really is something that God in the Bible demonstrated, showed us, and he himself was able to extend it to others.
Amen, amen. What is it, when you look at this idea of compassion being extended, and you give so many examples where it's expressed in the scriptures, what's the recipient feeling like when they receive this compassion? Are they excited? Are they welcoming? Does it ever occur that you find someone extending compassion, be it Christ or the other apostles or the other disciples of Jesus, or in the Old Testament, some of the believers in Christ, finding themselves expressing compassion and the recipient is saying, but I was not looking for this? What's the... First and foremost, how do people receive this idea of compassion? Are they welcome? Do they love it? What does it impact? Does it have on their life? Also, do we find sometimes where compassion is like manje boyapwen?
Yeah, you see, to start with, we need to understand that when you are expressing compassion to another person, is that you are not doing it for the receiver to either affirm or say something to you. You are doing it because it is the godliness in you that moves you. So that is that as you extend compassion, number one, you must know that some will not even turn to you and say thank you. Number two is that you must know that there are others who will not be kind, yeah, to receiving it, and others will not just care, even if you have come through. Remember the ten lepers?
Yes.
It only took one to come back. But Jesus was merciful. It is, they actually cried to him, have mercy on us. And Jesus moved with the mess he extends to them. But the nine don't care.
Ish.
Only one comes back. And so you see that. And again, you need to know that in extending compassion to others, there are others that will not be happy about it.
Okay, okay.
And so you are going to ruffle some feathers here and there, which was Jesus's life. In the temple, there's a woman who is bound for 18 years. He has compassion for this woman. The people in the temple, the Pharisees, are upset. Why? Why doing this on the Sabbath?
Mm.
Come any other day. So you can see that it's not everyone that will always receive it in the sense. But you and I must learn from Jesus that we must do that which he has put in our hearts, because we're not doing it for fame. We're not doing it for affirmation. Mm-hmm. We're not doing it for people to praise us. We're not doing it to be seen of men. We are doing it because it is the Christness in us that moves us to both will and to do his good pleasure. We are just disciples or vessels to extending mercy to others, because it is something that God has put in us.
Yeah, that is so true. That is so true. But Pastor, to be fair, even Christ, you know, went to a place where he would ask, how, my daughter? No one is thankful. Only one came to be thankful. After he helped so many people, surely we can be touched when people don't respond positively to our compassion, is it not? I mean, another example is when Christ is chased away from that city, Decapolis, I think it is, where he saves the demoniac, right?
Yeah.
And they chase him away and he never goes back. Back there, we don't ever hear him coming back, unless to come back again when he passes by and everyone is saved because of the work that the person who has left does. And I'm trying to say, surely there is room for us to be affected, even sometimes negatively, when our compassion is not appreciated. No.
Yeah, you see, when let me put it in this context, when Christ is chased from Gennesaret. The man goes round telling the story. When Christ retained that route, the people were ready to receive him.
Okay.
So Christ does not force himself for them to accept him.
Mm-hmm.
But when he extends to this man, he does it because when he went there, that was the only man that he went for.
Mm.
When the other, and you see, when Christ is saying, asking, where are the nine? It is not so much that he wants the thanks.
Okay.
He knew that the only one would return, but he still extended the grace to all of them.
To all of them.
And him coming to say thank you, it is not for Christ's sake. The Bible says that when he came back, it was Christ that said, go now, you have been healed.
Mm.
Meaning that the other nine missed out on the full package and only got to the removing of the leper, but there was that deeper healing that they needed.
Oof.
And the one that returned got it in full because he went to Christ.
Mm.
So it is not so that Christ may be moved, so that he may appreciate like we do it, like, hey, okay, you said thank you. No, it is actually for our sake, so that we may be full and get the fullness that Christ is giving us. That is why for him it is then important. You see, Derek, if we live at a time where I will be compassionate to you because I know that tomorrow you are the one who needs to be compassionate to me.
Okay.
That's not
okay.
How it's supposed to
true
be.
True, tit for tat, yeah?
Yeah, I must just do it. And not that tomorrow you must see me through. No. Even if you don't see me through, I will not say, hey, I helped Derek the other time. I'm now in trouble. He's never not even coming through.
Mm.
That's not how it works.
Yeah. And it's a pity that sometimes that's what we do, right? And I really feel aggrieved when I now come to you and then you don't want to even acknowledge that I exist. And yet I helped you when you are in a fix. It feels like I regret helping you as though somehow that help was conditional. And talk to us, Pastor. You touched on a very important subject and I want us to just maybe circle back to it and dwell a bit more on that. This idea of the benefit that is there in appreciating compassion. So we are looking today mostly from doing compassionate works to others and not expecting a response. But also when compassionate acts are done to us, what blessing there is in appreciating. You touch on the issue of the fullness, the wholeness that is found in the healing process when you come back for thanks and you then receive that go and be well, your faith has made you whole. You know, touch us on the blessing that is there in appreciating compassion when it's extended to us.
Yeah, you see, to start with is that you and I must learn that it is important to learn to say thank you even one to another as human. Mm. It is bad manners for you to receive and not say thank you. And when you do that, it just builds the relationship that the person that gave you and yourself in a different dimension, just as humans.
Yeah.
It improves us. It makes us be at a place where you recognize that, look, this is just grace extended to me, that someone, they could have done with this to someone else, they would have, but they chose me. And it makes you just humble yourself, realize that God can work in many ways and even through the people. So number one, let us not just run to say thank you to God. Say thank you to the people that came through when you needed fuel. Say thank you to the people that came through when you were sad, you were lonely, you had the funeral, they came through. Learn to say thank you. It is actually what God requires of us. It is a Christian duty for you and I to say thank you to the grace that we have received from others. Mm. Many of us want to run to God, but it is you and me starting from each other, saying thank you to one another. Then also after, we must also say thank you to God. Mm-hmm. But let us also learn. I know saying thank you to God, it is easy for many of us. But somehow, one to another, we have seemingly have a problem.
Yeah.
But that must also make those of us that are Christ-like, those of us that are saying we want to be his disciples, as you do God's work, do not expect thank you. Let thank you come on its own. But if you go expecting it, you'll be disappointed, because the truth is that people are not ready to. But do it in whatever way. Just do it, because you are not doing it for men to be seen of men. You are doing it for Christ. That's why there are so many examples in the Bible where not even Christ was appreciated. Look at this. The very people that he fed are the people that said, crucified him.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So even you and I must know, the very people that you raise in your home, the very people that you take to school, the very people that you support, tomorrow they will not even appreciate or say. And this is where we get worked out. Hey, I sponsored this one at school. Yeah. I kept this one in my house. But here are they. No, you did it because it was out of your heart. Mm. Don't let their evil turn you into evil. Let their evil remain. Continue being good. Continue to just trust God in whatever he does, even if a thank you doesn't come. But to those of us that are listening, whenever something is done, let us learn to say thank you.
Amen. But Mfundisi, it's a tough one, man. Because sometimes, okay, fine. What if I don't respond negatively in a pastor and be upset that they are not appreciating? Sometimes it then gives us, they say what, once bitten, twice shy, right? Where you then feel like, okay, I won't go and throw a tantrum because Pastor Mazubai has not appreciated what I did for him. But I will stop helping other people.
in future I will just mind my own business because people are unappreciative. Is there room for that? You know, I mean, Christ does say when you come to a town and they don't want to hear your message, shake the dust and move on with life. You know, we're just keeping it moving, Mfundisi. Is that wrong?
Well, you see, when Christ is telling them to say, when you go find a worthy home,
mm-hmm.
And if they don't accept you, just dust off your feet, move on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Christ is telling them that you will be rejected.
Okay,
yeah, he's pointing them to rejection, and rejection will come no matter what you have and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
when we come to you and I extending compassion, you and I giving things to others, even if they don't say, they don't appreciate us. To start with, let us put this benchmark.
Okay.
When you do your work, do not wait for a thank you. Do not even expect it.
An appreciation.
Do it because, look, Christ never got thank you. He was crucified by the very people. Instead of saying thank you, they crucified him. But he still went and died. So your goodness and my goodness must not be based on the response that people give us. We must do it because it is God in us that does it regardless of whether people say thank you, even if they don't come to say thank you. Tomorrow they have a bill in the hospital, I will pay it. Tomorrow they have problem, I will be there. Because I'm not looking for their thank you. I am doing it because of God, because of Christ working in my heart, and it is in him. But if I go looking out for people approving, giving me the affirmation, then at the end of the day, self will actually be the one at the throne, because I am doing it to be seen. I am doing it to be... We become like politicians. I do this, you vote for me. I give you the road, I get... And you've seen in the recent elections, I'll not mention where this MP went and did a borehole, did this and that, put a tank for the people. Because he lost the election, he went and uprooted all those things. Is that the way we must do our... Because people do not appreciate you in the vote?
No.
We do it because we see that... You know, we just don't... compassion goes beyond just sympathy. It goes to carry the burden of people. It goes beyond and lifts it to the point that sometimes they don't even see themselves, but we still carry their burden, and it goes just beyond it is just deeper than just sympathy. It goes beyond empathy and just gets to the ground and does the work. Compassion is an action oriented. It gets to do the work even without having to receive anything.
I love that. I love that compassion goes beyond sympathy. And that last point you mentioned, Pastor, is such a key element, right? To say, be careful to be driven by thank yous. Because the day they don't come, you feel like you're not worth it and you're not going to do it. Number one. Number two, which I found to be very, very profound in what you're saying there, Pastor, is that we must be careful of thank yous that we now start doing for people we know can thank us, right? And those we can sit, Pastor Mazuba won't be able to appreciate what I'm doing, especially from a materialistic perspective. When we do something, someone comes to thank you with something in the hand. Thank you, Pastor. Then we start visiting only those homes where you know that they will come and bless me. But those ones who can't do anything, even if there's a need, you stop showing compassion because you say, it's not going to really benefit and I won't get anything. And I think it's such a guide that you're giving us. Yeah. Honestly, thank you so much for the lesson today. I'm going to allow you for some closing remarks. Before you then pray for us as we wrap up today.
Yeah, I think my closing remarks would be that you and I need, like Paul says, I die daily. Paul then is trying to ensure that, look, all of us are selfish. That's just in us. We are selfish, and it's just the nature that every morning we wake up wants to take over. But when we let self be surrendered to Christ every day and let God be the one to lead us, move our hands, like the songwriter said, at the impulse of your love in everything that we do, then we'll be genuine in our compassion. Then we'll do things because Christ is the one leading us. Then we will understand that what we are doing, this is why the people that come to Jesus, who are compassionate on the prisoners, who are compassionate on the people on the streets, they asked Christ and says, but when did we do this to you? Because they were not looking for thank yous. They never paused to, they just did this work just because it was Christ in them. They never wanted anyone to reply and say, because they would have known, oh, it was that time when that one said thank you. But they just paused and trusted God. So that must be our goal. That must be our aim. Amen.
Amen, Pastor. You can pray with us.
Let us pray. Gracious Father, we want to thank you and just ask that may you be the one to lead us. May you fill us with yourself, that our hearts will be circumcised of self, and that you will be full in us. Bless us, Lord, to be compassionate within our families, within our churches, within our community, and within our societies and countries. For this is the whole requirement of man. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen and amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. May God bless you and keep you even as you continue in the rest of this day.
Amen.
Amen.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.